Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Well, welcome to episode 143
of the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
Yes, sir. I'm T. Quillen.
I'm John Malden.
Well, this week we're going to talk to PlayScripts Incorporated founder Jonathan Rand.
Ooh, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, a lot of neat stuff going over there. And they've got, the way the company founded was really cool.
And they're kind of embracing new technology, too.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. So let's just hear what Jonathan had to say.
Okay.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Hey, Putz, get off your fat tuchus and do something. I'm tired of yous laying around complaining about this and that. Forget about it. It's all you say. You bum.
Shut up already, Frank. Oh, God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm sorry. He gets wound up around the first of the month. You know, when you're supposed to pay the rent?
Now, give Frank a big tip. Hear about auditions, booking gigs, and other theater work around the South. Next.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
You ever heard of PlayScripts?
I have.
Well, we have Jonathan Rand on the phone.
Outstanding.
Jonathan, how you doing?
Great, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Doing fantastic.
Someone got some sleep tonight, apparently.
Yeah. How was it last night, Jonathan? What was last night like, really?
Last night was just a ridiculous, co-confused part.
All right.
I have bouts of insomnia sometimes that happened last night, so I apologize to the audience if I go off track.
That's all right. Our audience never sleeps either.
and we frequently go off track as well.
Yes.
So they're used to it.
Par for the course. Let's talk about PlayScripts. Founded about, going on 15, 16 years ago now, right?
Yeah, just about. I mean, we've been sort of in the public eye for a little over 9 years. We've been kind of the seed of it started back in 99, 98. I can tell you the story.
Sure, please.
Well, the short version is that my brother Doug and I are both playwrights. We both started writing plays when we were in high school way back in the 90s. And when Doug was in high school, he wrote a one-act comedy for high school, for a one-act festival. And it got it won a contest, and it was actually published by a traditional publisher. And then a few years later, I also wrote a one-act play, one-act comedy, and it wasn't published, but it won all the same contests. And I submitted my play to a bunch of publishers. And while waiting to hear back, I was a freshman in college, and I had a free website, so I decided, hey, I'll just put up a few scenes of my play on my website and see if people bite, and if they do, I can send them the rest of the script, and if they want to put it on, they'll send me some nominal amount of money for royalty fee and to put it on. And then after about a year, we looked at my numbers and Doug's numbers and saw this vast chasm, and actually Doug's play was doing pretty well, but my play was doing kind of stratospherically better, which was kind of a shock to us. And so we took these two data points, and we thought, wait a second, what's the big difference here? We looked around at what the other publishers were doing back in 98, and they were not really using the internet at all. And we said, wait a second, okay, we've hit on something here where people are actually reading my words instead of reading Doug's synopsis, which is a big difference. So people are actually making an informed decision. They would say, I like John's play, or I hate John's play, and then I'm gonna move on, or I'm gonna actually, you know, take a chance. It's less of a risk because they can actually dive into the words themselves. So that's what we took that seed of an idea and built it into a company where the founding principle of our company was let the people decide, let people read almost the entire script, about 90% of the script, before they buy anything.
That's cool. Now, you posted them online, though, with a kind of encryption, right? I mean, you encrypted those files and all of that stuff. How did you originally?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, how did you keep from, you know, them taking that 90% and producing it and then, like, you know, sort of making up the rest of the 10%?
That's probably the worst case scenario, is if somebody was able to hack, like, figure out a way to hack our encryption and then make up the last 10%. We haven't ever heard of a situation like that, thankfully. With the original seed of an idea, when I was just posting it from my college dorm room, it was not encrypted. So it was sort of a free for all. I mean, to this day, there could have been people that were cheating left and right. But when we founded a company, we knew we'd have to kind of combine that sense of transparency for customers, but also make sure it was secure so playwrights didn't feel like their work was getting exploited.
Right.
So we hit upon these encrypted script samples, and so it's really frozen on your screen. You can't copy it, you can't print it, you can't paste it. So customers can read up to 90% of the script, but that's it. And so at that point, if you do want to read the rest, or if you do want to produce it, you have to kick it in traditional mode and read and buy an actual book.
Still, though, that's pretty incredible, though. I mean, As a director, I remember sitting, just exactly right, reading through the synopsis and going, yeah, that sounds like a neat idea, but what's the dialogue really like?
Right. It's 113 pages, right?
Right.
That's the thing we would hear from. We talk to customers all over the country who would say, I just bought 100 books, only five I can even put on, let alone, half of these are, I'm a middle school and half of these, are about incest.
Right.
I guess they could have picked up on that in the synopsis. But anyway,
right.
But usually the synopsis can only take you so far. And also, you know, as we all know, there could be a great synopsis for a horrible play and vice versa. So, you know, why let the synopsis decide, make the decision for the customer?
What spurred your idea then from the genesis of protecting your own work and getting it out there to reaching out to other playwrights? How did you get the ball rolling in that regard?
Well, it started out when in the first year or so, we kind of reached out to everybody we knew that was a playwright. So it was kind of, you know, somebody in my playwriting class in college, and then also one of our mentors when we were in high school. And then at that point, as the company started to grow, we reached playwrights. They either come to us or via our website or via any number of traditional routes, or our agents approach us, or we approach agents. We go see a play. We develop relationships with authors over the years, where, you know, they come to us first. So it started out pretty grassroots, and then we've, you know, been able to. Now, I mean, obviously, it started out where we didn't know how to find scripts. Now we have too many scripts that we know what to do.
That's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have, but yeah, it did become sad when it, you know, started out with where we were trying to choose among the 10 plays that came in, and now it's, you know, hundreds and hundreds every month that come in. So we have to reject most of them, unfortunately.
But do you guys take unsolicited submissions, or is it got to be through an agent or through some other means?
No, we do. We do accept unsolicited submissions. We do have certain requirements for the kind of script you're sending in. So, for instance, if you're sending in a script that's designed for professional theaters, it's going to need to have at least one kind of defining production behind it. But, you know, it's a different story for a play that's, say, written for schools in mind. If you've written a 30-minute, 12-person comedy that's like suited for high schools, that doesn't necessarily need to have a production before you submit it. But I do recommend any playwright out there that has their blood, that just finished a play, you would at least want to have it read with actors, or maybe just friends who can sort of fake acting. just to hear you. I mean, that's always going to strengthen a script.
Right.
Now let's talk about the royalty process and your relationship with your playwrights that for the plays that you do have in your catalog. How is your company different from, say, the traditional the two big ones, the Dramatists Play Service and what's it, Samuel French? How would it differ? How does your company differ from them in terms of playwright company relationship?
Sure. So are you talking about mostly the royalty, like how the commission works?
Sure. That, and I mean, just
okay,
well, relationship in general as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So the commission is, I mean, there is really no industry standard. It kind of runs the gamut from you'll have some tiny publishers out there that actually take a majority of the royalty fee that comes in. So there's the royalty fee for performances. So that's, you know, if a community theater wants to perform a play, they pay either a per performance royalty fee, so say $100 per performance, or they'll pay a percentage of the box office. And then the publisher takes a commission off of that money and pays the playwright the rest. And then the same goes for book sales. Every book that comes in, we pay the author, but we also take a commission. Now, for book sales, there is an industry standard for book sales, and that's the author makes 10%. And the publisher takes the rest, but that's also the publisher has to float the cost for warehousing and for printing and for fulfillment and things like that. But for, when it comes to the royalty commission for performances, there's a huge spectrum. The author always takes a majority of the performance royalties, and that's the case with us, with Samuel French, with Drama's Play Service. Sometimes a play can command 80 or 90%, where the author gets 80 or 90% of the performance royalty, and sometimes it can go lower. And that's the case with everybody, including PlayScript, Samuel French, Dramatist Play Service. Although there is sort of a myth out there that it's only 80% or 90%, but that's actually not the case. Mm-hmm. When it comes to relationship between beyond the scary dollars, although I guess dollars aren't really scary. Everyone likes money, but the player relationships, where we take a lot of pride in our relationship with playwrights, in that we make sure that they have they're treated like first class citizens. There's sort of anytime we come across something that seems to be silly or kind of we're unsure of why the status quo is a little messed up, we like to challenge the status quo. For instance, it's always been in the industry that playwrights are paid every 6 months to a year or even longer. And that's how we started, because that's the way all of our sort of mentors and agents and playwrights always told us, right, when we were, back, almost 10 years ago. Right. We decided, wait a second, why is that the case? Why is it that the publisher is holding on to, thousands and thousands of dollars that's not theirs, for months? So an author could say, let's say an author makes $15,000 on a major production, but it was on January 1st and authors were just paid 10 days before, they're not going to get that money for 6 months. And that, wow, we thought that was ridiculous. It's not our money. We shouldn't collect interest on it. And authors need to pay their rent. So we decided that's silly. We're going to pay authors monthly. So we've been doing that for years. And we also take a lot of pride in our transparency, in that, unique in the industry, you can, as an author, you can go log into a private website and you can access full sales information for every single book sale that comes in, every single performance that's licensed for your plays. Because the traditional method was, you get a royalty statement, you see, okay, here's a dollar amount for books, here's where the play was performed, and you don't really get a sense of where the money's coming from. I mean, you find it after the fact. My brother, when he had his play published by another publisher when he was younger, he would get a royalty statement that would say, your play was performed, in Ocala, Florida. Maybe he was like 10 miles away at the time, but he had no idea. So we have it. So you have immediate access. You have full access to all information. In fact, you can have as an author, you can set it up so you receive an email anytime a book is shipped, anytime a performance is licensed, so you know as soon as we do. And authors like take advantage of that and really, really, really dig that part of what we do, because it's just, there's nothing hidden. You can kind of do an instant audit of play scripts, whatever you want.
That's cool.
Now, that's really cool. As far as the printing of the actual books, have you guys explored options of the printing on demand so that you don't have the overhead of warehouse costs, or is that not practical yet?
Sure. No, that's actually how we started, the print on demand. But as we've grown, it's just not feasible. If you've got, when it was fewer orders per day, it's the kind of thing you could do, and you can actually, it certainly reduces the warehousing fees. But then when you have a title that's where you're shipping out hundreds of books, for a particular title, in a given week, it starts to strain the people shipping the books. So, in some cases, in all cases, we don't have a pure print on demand system, but in some cases, the quantities are pretty low micro inventory, and then it goes all the way up to where we're printing thousands.
Mm.
But yeah, no, we have explored it, and in some cases we're close to on demand, but not quite.
Cool. T and I have been to the Humana Festival for the podcast for the past couple of years, and we noticed you guys have your kind of store there, for lack of a better term. How did you guys get connected into the Humana Festival, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, sure. We've always had a great relationship with Humana, and at some point the publisher of the annual anthology of all the plays from the annual festival, at some point that publisher decided they didn't want to do it anymore. It's kind of an interesting story. It's kind of political, so I don't want to tell stories out of school, but it was interesting. It had to do with a left-wing, right-wing conflict. But you should ask Mark Masterson about that. it's a funny story. But anyway, so they dropped it, and which was great news to us. And we've always loved you, man. I thought that it's just sort of the plays are fantastic, the organization's fantastic. Go every year, and so yeah, we took it over, and we've been doing it. This is our third year. We just published the 2008 edition. It just came out about a month ago.
Cool, awesome. I have to ask you about findaplay.com.
Sure.
Free website, right?
Yep.
Free service. And correct me if I'm wrong, this website, findaplay.com, allows you to search a play title for amongst any of the publishers and any of the rights companies, right? Is that correct?
That's right. And I know you're probably thinking, why would we do that?
Right. That was my next question.
given we're helping our competitors. No, it was something that we thought of a long time ago. Basically, we talked to a lot of customers, and they say, it's ridiculous. If I want to find out who publishes Bly Spirit, I have to take 8 catalogs off my shelf and flip through it. There was no central place to find who publishes what.
Mm.
We thought it was ridiculous. And so we put together this website where it's free for the publisher, it's free for the customer. You can just run a search and find out who publishes what. We just thought it was just the kind of thing that just should be happening and wasn't. And it's actually interesting. We've heard from directly from a lot of our competitors that they actually use our service all the time when a customer calls. I think one publisher actually used our service to find out what was in their catalog, which is kind of funny.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
People seem to, both publishers and customers have raved about it. It's great to hear from our competitors. Like, you know, thank you so much. This is really helpful. And actually, I mean, like I said before, it's kind of funny that we're helping our competitors. But hey, I mean, I think it's all good.
Sure. that's just a funny story about them searching their own catalog with your service. I think that's great. Without getting too technical, I mean, do you actually just kind of link in a search with their own search engines on their sites, or do you have an agreement with them? Do they know how did this set up without getting too technical in it?
Sure. Well, the information is public, and that's how it originally started. But then, you know, we have, we're in contact with the publishers, and they sent us sort of, comma separated spreadsheets with the information, and we can just do a quick upload.
Awesome.
But it's the kind of thing we're exploring and making it more kind of maybe more of a sort of make it easier for the publishers or maybe even users to upload information, so it's far more up to date and can happen kind of lickety split without our having to intervene. But that's something for the future.
Cool. So it's constantly evolving. Then that's awesome. That is incredible. Yeah. Congratulations. Okay. Well, before we let you go, we have to ask you about what's coming up. What's coming? What do you got? What do you guys got coming out at PlayScripts? What's new? Plays.
Well, let's see. I mean, we've got 3 Craig Lucas adaptations of we got Uncle Vanya, 3 Sisters, and Miss Julie that are coming out. We're really excited about those. Katie Forgette wrote a play called Sherlock Holmes in the Case of the Jersey Lily. That's coming up. There's a play called Parfumery, which is basically the You've Got Mail, The Shop Around the Corner, She Loves Me original play. So that's coming out. We've got a great adaptation of Anne of Green Gables by Peter Delorier. Let's see what else. We've got some great plays for schools. Here's a play that actually works for schools, professional theaters, and for for children's theaters. We actually, it came out about a year ago, but I like to push it, which is an adaptation of Nelson is Missing by Jeffrey Hatcher. It adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher, and it's really fantastic.
Well, that's cool.
And actually, our first foray into Broadway, you know, we're still a young company, and it was our first Broadway play, which was Is He Dead, which is a discovered Mark Twain play. He wrote a play, and it was just recently discovered in the last few years, and then David Ives adapted it, and it was brought to Broadway. It's hysterical. What's great is that it's the kind of play that professional theaters love, and also all the way down to high schools and middle schools, because it's just one of those kind of rare gems that comes on the New York stages that happens to be funny, but also completely clean and fun, and it's Mark Twain, and it's just got all these great elements going for it. So it's called Easy Dead, and it's quite good.
That's cool. What numbers wise? How many do you guys release on, say, a monthly basis? How many new releases every month?
Well, I can tell you it depends on the month, actually, because, I mean, around the summer we do a big publishing push, but when it comes to annually, we're publishing more plays than we have in the past year, which is going to be in the neighborhood of 200.
That's pretty cool. That is really cool.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan,
thanks. We're very excited. There's a lot of great stuff coming out, and so if you actually go to www.playscripts.com, and you can sign up to receive updates as soon as those plays come out, so you're not sort of left in the dark.
Now, before we let you go, you started out as a playwright. Are you still writing plays as well as being a publisher?
I am. Yeah, not as much as I'd like. It's kind of it happens just a few weeks or a few months out of the year, but it's trying to do this.
Have you found a publisher yet?
Yeah. I've heard of this great company.
Yeah.
Well, let me recommend PlayScripts, because they're good. They sound like they're a good company.
Yeah? I don't know. I hear the owners are kind of...
Well,
yeah. Well, you might have a family connection there. I'm just saying. The names sound familiar.
Yeah. Freaking nepotism.
I'm telling you.
Hey, if it works for you, right?
Jonathan, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thanks so much.
Great.
If you love The Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
All right, so we'd like to thank Jonathan Rand for, I would say stopping by, but I guess talking to us on the phone is probably the better option.
Yeah.
And telling us about PlayScripts.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Jonathan. You want to go ahead and promo what we got for next
week?
Yeah,
what do we have up next
week? This is a new thing for us, this whole planning ahead.
I know. We're just trying it out.
Yeah, so don't be used to it. But we're going to talk to a group called Voices of the South.
Outstanding.
Yeah, and it's Memphis Children's Theater Festival, which is actually going to be opening up next week. So that'll be next week. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.